Welcome one, welcome all to this week's episode of The Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining us today. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat behind microphone number one, I am your host. My name is Tom Velasquez. Sitting across from me, as always during the return of The Paranormal Patriot, is your co-host, Andrew. How you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing good. Welcome back to another show, guys.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the, this is the fourth show.
This is the fourth show.
So first off, before I begin the show, I want to thank everybody for listening. The show, the first three shows so far have done phenomenal. We are going to be expanding the show. I got to have 10 shows in the books, but we're going to go on Spotify. Still trying to get it on iTunes. I can't get my logo correct for some reason to meet iTunes specifications, but we'll get there. But a big shout out goes to Andy in Texas. Now, Andy, he has been a listener since long before the return of the Paranormal Patriot. He has been one of my most loyal listeners. If you were a fan of the show before I was on my month or two hiatus, you might have heard him in an interview with us a couple times. Well, he sent me a Twitter message. Andy and I communicate via Twitter a lot. And he just wanted to say, hey, Andrew is a great asset to the show. He's doing a great job. And you know, on behalf of Andrew and myself, I just want to say thank you. Do you want to say something to him, Andrew?
Yeah, thank you, Andy. I love being on the show.
Well, I hope everybody feels the same way. Now, this show, it's going to be pretty intense. I have to tell you that this is probably and easily one of the most important episodes that I have ever produced. Now, back in 2014, I did a show on this very topic. But now the possibilities of this situation happening are beyond any doubt. And now, come to find out, after another, 3.5, 4 years of studying this phenomenon, things are going to get worse. So for those of you who are in the Northern Hemisphere, in the heartland of the United States, California, Oregon, Washington, Alaska, as well as the other seismic and volcanic areas of the world, you need to listen to this show, and you need to heed my words. You need to pay attention, because life-changing events are happening all around us, and unfortunately, they are in progress right now. Life-changing events for the majority of the world are already in progress. Now, for decades, we have been told that mankind is warming the planet. Our carbon output is destroying the ecosystem, killing off polar bears, and handing our planet a death sentence. Again, for decades, the idea of global warming has been politicized, and it's been used to control the population of the world. Now, I'm not going to even begin to get into the hypocrisy of Al Gore and Leonardo DiCaprio, among all the other global climate change, global warming kooks out there. The global warmists continually degrade and demean the majority of the population for driving our vehicles to and from work or wherever we need to go, using lights at night. And for the most part, they're mad at us for breathing, because CO2, carbon dioxide, is the greenhouse gas culprit that they're trying to eliminate. Well, Andrew, what do human beings breathe out whenever they breathe.
We breathe out carbon dioxide.
We breathe out carbon dioxide. So right now, you and I, according to the global warmists or the climate change kooks, we're destroying our planet. There is, I'll let Andrew talk about that in a little bit. But again, we as humans exhale CO2. And according to these people, it's the main culprit for global warming. But what they don't want you to know is that the Earth is not warming. As a matter of fact, it's cooling. This is why you no longer hear so much about global warming. They've changed their tune, and it's now called climate change. Because they cannot account for the fact that the globe isn't warming, it's actually cooling. And the sea levels, which Al Gore told us the East Coast would be underwater by now, the sea levels aren't rising. In fact, they're kind of receding a little bit. Everybody thought, oh my gosh, all these icebergs are breaking off and going to be floating and melting in the water and rising the water temperature. But think about it. If you have a glass of water, you have a full glass of water, and you put ice in it, does the water rise as the ice melts? No, because the ice that's in there is already taking up space.
And if you think about it, 75% of the Earth is water. So I don't think ice will make that water rise.
No, because it's already water. It's just frozen.
Yeah.
So if it melts, it's just changing form. Their science doesn't mix. It doesn't make sense. But give them credit because they've done a phenomenal job of not only convincing the politicians, but a vast majority of scientists and the population of the world that we're destroying this planet. It's just not happening, though. I've said it before, I'll say it again. This planet is very resilient. It is the epitome of mankind's arrogance to say that we can control and change the climate on this planet. We may be able to change ecosystems. We may be able to take a swampland and turn it into a condominium complex. But to say that we can control the climate is not really true. It's not going to happen. But the climate is changing. Why is it? Well, we're going to talk this week about the sun and what is going on with the sun and how that controls our climate. It's not fossil fuels. It's not carbon dioxide. It's not cows farting that is going to change the climate. It's all controlled by that bright, shiny thing in the sky that produced life on this planet and therefore changes the climate and controls the climate and some other things that are pretty scary that we hold dear. I mean, if the climate changes like they say it is, things are going to get rough. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back here in just a minute, and we're going to begin our discussion of the cold sun. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot, and we will be right back.
You're too young to be on that bridge. You're too young to be standing on the edge. Too young to be alone with the rain. You're too young.
Hey, all my Michigan and surrounding area listeners. If you are into the paranormal, you need to go to Michigan's Ghost Coast Paranormal Convention. Michigan's Ghost Paranormal Convention will be June 29th and 30th, 2018 at the Grand Haven Community Center, 421 Columbus in Grand Haven, Michigan. Do you want to show off your team? How about networking with other teams, sharing or learning new skills as an investigative professional? We want you here. We have booth spaces available for any Michigan-based team, whether your specialty is in the fields of ghosts or spirits, Bigfoot, UFO, even cryptozoology. We want you here to network with other groups and show your investigation and evidence to the public. If your group is involved in the paranormal and you want your group's voice heard, then you need to be here. Network with other Michigan teams, show some of your investigations and evidence, or simply come out to check out new equipment, techniques, or even just come to listen to some of our speakers. Booth spaces are limited and first come, first serve. Check for convention updates at graspp.org or email them at debunkers@graspp.info for more details. Remember, Michigan's Ghost Coast Paranormal Convention, June 29th and June 30th, 2018, in Grand Haven, Michigan. It's you. Alrighty, we are back. Andrew, where does this bumper music come from?
Jamendo.com.
Jamendo.com. So if you like the bumper music you hear between breaks, go to Jamendo.com, find songs you like, download them, and listen to them for free of charge. Jamendo.com. So this is a pretty big topic for me because I believe in a lot of things. I believe in UFOs. I believe in Bigfoot. I believe in ghosts. I believe in, I don't know, the Tooth Fairy. I believe that what I'm going to talk about is very real, and it's actually happening right now. Now, I'm just going to start reading from my notes and going over some articles I printed off. Andrew, just pop in with any info you can, because I'm just going to start, and I don't know when I'm going to stop. But now, the sun, like everything else in nature, has cycles of activity. The sun is, among other things, a powerful shifting magnet, and its magnetic field goes through a predictable cycle lasting roughly 11 years. Now, currently, we're in the 24th solar cycle since dependable records started being gathered. Now, this is generally measured by sunspot activity, and at the moment, sunspot activity is declining. Now, what this means is it means that the sun is putting out less energy, which means, in theory, that is going to give us a difference in global temperature. Now, this current solar cycle has been unusually weak by the standards of the sun. Now, weak is a relative term here, but the sun has been unusually quiet and low energy compared to the records of the past. And that would seem to point towards what scientists are calling a grand solar minimum. That is, a solar cycle that isn't pumping out quite as much radiation and electromagnetic activity as we're used to. In your day-to-day life, this generally doesn't mean too much, and it's not unusual, historically speaking. Now, once we understood how the solar cycles worked, historians began digging and uncovered all sorts of data that proved we've seen grand solar minimums before, and also grand solar maximums throughout history. Now, the main question is, are we entering a grand solar minimum? And if we are, how much is the Earth's temperature going to drop? Now, keep in mind, solar cycles are a tricky business. The next cycle, which is cycle 25, is coming up, though, very, very shortly. If it is a grand solar minimum, it may drop global temperatures by approximately 1 degree Celsius, which, depending on who you ask, would mean technically a little ice age, not unlike one humanity experienced in the 17th century.
In the 17th century, there was a prolonged reduction in the solar activity called the Maunder Minimum, which lasted approximately 1645 to 1700s. Researchers developed a new method of analysis which helped to uncover that the magnetic waves in the sun are generating in pairs, with the main pair covering 40% of variance of the data. The new reduction of the solar activity will lead to reduction of the solar radiance.
Now, a new model of the sun's solar cycle is producing unprecedentedly accurate predictions of irregularities within the sun's 11-year heartbeat. The model draws on dynamo effects in two layers of the sun, one close to the surface and one deep within its convection zone. Predictions from this model suggest that solar activity will fall by 60% during the 2030s to conditions last seen during the mini ice age that began in 1645. And what was that mini ice age called?
The Maunder Minimum.
Maunder Minimum. Now, these results were presented by Professor Valentina Zarkova at the National Astronomy Meeting in, you got me, Lalandro Luno? It was in some place that had a National Astronomy Meeting. Now, it has been 172 years since a scientist first spotted that the sun's activities vary over a cycle lasting around 10 to 12 years. But every cycle is a little different, and none of the models of causes to date have fully explained fluctuations. Many solar physicists have put the cause of the solar cycle down to a dynamo caused by convecting fluid deep within the sun. Now, Zarkova and her colleagues have found that adding a second dynamo close to the surface completes the picture with surprising accuracy. According to Zarkova, she said, "We found magnetic wave components appearing in pairs, originating in two different layers in the sun's interior. They both have a frequency of approximately 11 years, although this frequency is slightly different, and they are offset in time. Over the cycle, the waves fluctuate between the northern and southern hemispheres of the sun. Combining both waves together and comparing the real data for the current solar cycle, we found that our prediction showed an accuracy of 97%. Zarkova and her colleagues derived their model using a technique called principal component analysis of the magnetic field observations from the Wilcox Solar Observatory in California. They examined three solar cycles worth of magnetic field activity covering from a period of 1976 to 2008. In addition, they compared the predictions to average sunspot numbers, another strong marker of solar activity. All the predictions and observations were closely matched. Looking ahead to the next solar cycles, the models predict that a pair of waves become increasingly offset during cycle 25. Now, cycle 25, I said, we're going to begin very soon. That will peak in 2022. During cycle 26, which covers the decade from 2030 to 2040, the two waves will become exactly out of sync, and this will cause a significant reduction in solar activity. In cycle 26, the two waves exactly mirror each other, peaking at the same time, but in opposite hemispheres of the sun. Their interaction will be disruptive, or they will nearly cancel each other. We predict that this will lead to the properties of the Maunder minimum. Effectively, when the waves are appropriately in phase, they can show strong interaction or resonance, and we have strong solar activity. When they are out of phase, we have solar minimum. When there is a full phase separation, we have conditions last seen during the Maunder minimum 370 years ago. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means we are coming up with a 97% accuracy rate. We're coming up to cycles of the sun that we have not seen for 370 years. 370 years ago, they had a little ice age. The River Thames in London was a sheet of ice. People would have festivals out on that ice because it was so cold. The climate was completely different. We are going to see extremely cold temperatures. We're already seeing it. How many years ago did we hear about the polar vortex? Anybody remember? When I was a kid, we didn't have school called off because of cold. It got cold, but there were a couple days, well, this year, a couple days last year, 2 years or 3 years ago, it was bad. There was like weeks on end where it was actual temperature 15 to 20 below. That is a polar vortex. Nobody had ever heard of it because it really didn't exist in our lifetime. People called it an Arctic blast. Well, there's a big difference between an Arctic blast and a polar vortex. Now, with that being said, we may be going into a mini ice age. We're definitely going to see the average temperature of the Earth cool. What does that mean? Does that mean we're constantly, if you're in the northern hemisphere, you're going to constantly have winter? No. Andrew, do you like the pool we have out back?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, get used to not swimming in it, because summers in the northern hemisphere are going to be much shorter, much wetter. Winters are going to be much longer and with much more snow. Now, when you don't have warm weather, any idea, Andrew, what doesn't happen when you don't have a prolonged period of warm weather?
You can't produce crops.
You can't produce crops. When you can't produce crops, you can't feed the population. Therefore, the population starves or they relocate. You're going to see a mass migration to southern states, Florida, or even Central and South America, because the growing season is going to be longer there. Up where I am, the growing season is going to be pretty short. It's going to be far too short to produce an ample crop. So not only is it going to be cold, we're not going to be able to produce enough crops, so therefore the price of food is going to skyrocket, plus the price of heating your home is going to go through the roof like it hasn't already. Now keep in mind, back in the 1700s, they didn't have the technology for home heating that we do. That will benefit us. But the problem is, can we afford it? Because not only is it going to get cold, but there are going to be some things that, because of this solar minimum, the solar hibernation, there are some things that may happen that we can't control, and it's going to get bad. Now, listen, 4 years ago when I produced this show, I had a lot of people say, are you kidding me, Tom? Global warming is real. It's not produced by the sun. Well, now the mainstream media is picking up on this. That's why I wanted to do this show, because this is a rehash, a recap of what I told you 4 years ago. And now it's coming to fruition. Holy cow. The sun is cooling. Well, the sun is what gives us heat. If the sun is not producing as much heat, giving us enough energy, what's going to happen?
We're going to die.
Well, I don't know if we're going to die, but it's going to get cold. And it's going to get cold for a long time. But John L. Casey, a great writer, what was the name of that book he wrote?
Dark Winter.
Dark Winter. If you haven't heard it, seen it, read it, get it. It is a phenomenal book. I've listened to many interviews with this guy. This guy is 80 to 100% accurate. If I pulled 80% in high school, I would have been king. 100%? Well, that's Andrew's territory. I didn't even come close to that. But this guy, what he's been predicting is coming true. And the scary part of it is he is predicting. He has gone back to the 1400s, to the Maunder minimum. Then back in the early, mid-1800s, probably I think it was 1792 to 1830s, there was a Dalton minimum. Wasn't as significant as the Maunder minimum, but something happened during that Dalton minimum that they have gone back to the 1400s. They're 4 for 4. They have proven that during these minimums, major earthquakes and major volcanic activity occurs during these minimums. Now, Mr. Casey states there is not only an 11-year cycle of the sun, but there's a 206-year cycle of the sun. That 206-year cycle of the sun gives us our major minimums, our significant minimums. The last major minimum, 206 years ago, if you take when that happened and add 206 to it, the year that the next minimum is set to begin, and this is clockwork, everybody, it has been proven 4 for 4, 4 of the last 4 that they have records of, the minimums, every 206 years. The last minimum, it started 206 years ago, this year. That means our solar minimum starts in 2018. Now, when we have solar minimums, you've heard me talk about the New Madrid fault line in the central part of the United States. When did the last major seismic activity of the New Madrid fault line happen? 206 years ago. Happened in 1811 and 1812. Four major 8.0, some say 9.0 magnitude earthquakes happened on the New Madrid fault line. What most people don't know is the New Madrid fault line is the largest, is the most dangerous fault line in the world. The New Madrid fault line has had the most destructive earthquakes. We've all heard of the San Andreas fault line. It's nothing compared to the New Madrid fault line. And every time there's a solar minimum, the New Madrid fault line, there are records to show that New Madrid fault line has given way and produced a cataclysmic earthquake. Now, in 1811, 1812, I think the population of this country was 5 million people. It disrupted many, many people, but they didn't have bridges crossing the Mississippi River then. They had barges. Just to put it in perspective, the earthquake of the 1811, late 1811, early 1812 was so powerful, the Mississippi River flowed backward for a time.
And the highest magnitude of an earthquake is 9.4 to 9.6. And that happened in Chile in 1960.
Now, they didn't have a Richter scale back in 1811, 1812. As I say, some people say it was at minimum an 8 to 8.4 magnitude earthquake. Some people say it was a 9 to 9.2 magnitude earthquake. Again, 5 million people in 1811, 1812. We are well beyond that, just in that area. Because it's not just going to affect Missouri. It will affect Indiana. It will affect Iowa. It will affect Kentucky, Tennessee, the northern part of Alabama, Mississippi, Oklahoma, parts of Texas. When this thing goes, the amount of destruction is going to be catastrophic. So they didn't have bridges then. What do we have now?
We got bridges.
Bridges. Tons of bridges going across the Mississippi. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, has done a study on the so-called effects of a major earthquake in the New Madrid region, and they said 87% of the bridges going across the Mississippi would be totally destroyed. On top of that, numerous major fuel and gas lines go right through the New Madrid fault line. FEMA has estimated that there will be 425,000 breaks in that line, therefore rendering the eastern part of the United States, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, Maine, Connecticut,
North Carolina, South Carolina,
wherever, without power and without fuel and gas to heat. So it would basically, I mentioned earlier in the show, hey, the people in the 1700s didn't have the technology we had. Well, the technology doesn't do us any good if we have no power to power it. They're anticipating that power outages in the area around the New Madrid fault line will be out for months on end, because they can't rebuild right away because there's aftershocks. And these aftershocks are going to continue and continue for months on end. So you can start building the building, but what happens if you get a 7.0 aftershock?
It's going to fall down.
It's falling down. It's destroyed. You got to start over. It is, I don't know how to put this lightly, because it there's no way to do it. I am utterly convinced that we are in the beginnings of a solar minimum cycle. We are going to see the global temperatures drop. If you, like I, am in the northern hemisphere of this country, or of this planet, I should say, because I do have some international listeners, you need to seriously think about maybe not moving right now, but purchasing land in the southern part of this country or in the southern hemisphere. I'm utterly convinced that this will happen. If you are in the heartland of the United States, it may get bad. Well, I thoroughly believe 4 for 4. I mean, the last 4 solar minimums, there has been a major catastrophic earthquake in the New Madrid fault line area. What would stop it this time? Nothing. There's nothing we can do to stop it. California, Alaska, Oregon, Washington, you are all going to see seismic activity, major seismic activity. The sun controls much, much more than just the temperature on a daily basis.
Now, I have a question. Do these solar minimums last for the whole year?
Solar minimums will last. They're predicting this solar minimum to last decades.
What?
20, 30, maybe even 40 years before we start returning to normal. See, you weren't born then, but in the 80s, mostly the 90s, early 2000s, we experienced major heat. And that's where these global warmists got the Earth is warming. Because we were in a solar maximum that produced a lot of sunspots. Sunspots are essentially the energy of the sun.
Yes.
The more sunspots you see, the more active the sun is, the more energy it's beaming towards this planet. And we got warm. We had great summers here in Michigan. It kind of leveled out, and now we're seeing it reduce. Now, again, you're going to have warm days. You'll have those 70, 80, 90-degree days every now and then. But trust me, again, you weren't born then. Growing up, you would see 100-degree days. In Michigan, you would go weeks with 90-degree weather. Now, if we see a 90-degree day in the summer,
that's a miracle.
It's rare. We just don't see it. Now, there's going to be parts of the country, and I know I'm producing this show right now on Saturday night. Tuesday in Michigan, it's supposed to be 62 degrees with thunderstorms. I get it. It's not going. I'm not saying it's going to be cold all the time. I'm saying on average, the cold weather is coming. I can't emphasize enough the urgency of listening to this podcast and having people listen to this podcast and do your own research. If you don't believe me, do your own research. Because trust me, and I want to get into this with Andrew because he has a firsthand account. Our children from first grade all the way up to high school, they're not being taught about the Maunder minimum. They're not being told about the Dalton minimum. They're not being told about the sun's ability and the sun's effect on our climate.
And I want to just say this. This was pretty shocking to me, but 55% of Americans do not know the sun is a star.
That is a testament of our education program. 55% of Americans do not know that the sun is a star. What do they think it is? The sun?
It's just a sun.
It's a sun. It's a star. It's a star. That's what it is.
You see those dots in the sky at night? Those are stars. The sun is the star just like those.
Just call them suns. Those are suns in the sky. It amazes me. I want to relay a story to you. It was back in April or May of 2017. Andrew had to write a paper on global warming.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, he remembers this. And he came home and he was having trouble doing it. And I sat down with him and I'm like, Well, why do you have to write a paper about global warming? Why can't you write a paper in contrast or in rejection of global warming? So we essentially did. We essentially said, now, global warming is a theory, an unproven theory, blah, 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 blah. It went on and on and on. Well, he got reprimanded by his teacher because that is not what they're being taught. Global warming, according to this teacher, is fact. And if you have another opinion, you will be reprimanded for it. Well, I'll never forget, it was the day we got back from Costa Rica and we went to pick up the kids, and lo and behold, that teacher comes out and wants to talk to me, and oh, I was ready for it. She asked me why I was so upset, because I sent her a message. I emailed her, and I said, look, Andrew told me what happened. We need to talk. And I told her. I said, look, you have your theories. I don't subscribe to that theory. I don't appreciate you shoving that theory down my son's throat. There is no proof that global warming is real. Well, there is proof. I said, give it to me. And then she proceeded to give me all the liberal mumbo-jumbo, all the talking points.
Just to clarify, I was not happy about this project because I don't believe in global warming either. It's just, I think it's fake.
Well, that's because your dad's a smart guy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Whatever you say.
Anyway, so she wanted to try and clarify, and I said, look, you're not going to convince me. I said, it's all cyclical. And then I got into the fact that the sun controls our climate, and then she just rolled her eyes, threw up her arms, and walked away. This happens. This happens every day in our schools. Our children are being essentially brainwashed. The schools are not a public learning facility. It's an indoctrination center. The liberals have taken over our schools. They've made them just a bastion of liberal arts and liberal thought. Why do you think our colleges are so bad? Because we have college professors that spout off on how horrible the military is, spout off on how horrible Donald Trump is. Hell, I watched a video of a teacher. She played a video of Donald Trump in her class and pulled out a fake gun and shot it and saying, die, 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 in front of her children, in front of her students. What is that teaching them? That's teaching them their agenda.
It's teaching them to be against them, him.
Yes, because he's not a liberal. He's not a socialist. Schools aren't supposed to be bastions for socialism. Schools are supposed to be a bastion of free thought and learning and developing your mind.
Yes, schools are brainwashing you, meaning they don't want you to know the truth.
They don't want you to know the truth. Because if they did, in response, look, I would have no problem if they taught half a semester, this is the theory of global warming. Then they taught half a semester of history, stating, hey, there was a Maunder minimum, there was a Dalton minimum, we may be in what they're calling now the Eddy minimum. They don't do it. They're totally disregarding history because it doesn't fit with their narrative agenda. Look at what your children are doing in school. Look at their homework. Talk to them about what they're being taught. And if you don't like it, question it. That's your role as a parent. Now, you may believe in global warming. That's fine. But don't chastise me for driving a big, I call it a creeper van, a big full-size van, because I don't think I'm hurting the planet. It's going to take a lot more of these big old vans than I will ever begin to see to even begin to touch the planet's environment and climate. I don't get it. It's frustrating to see what they're teaching our children. There's no responsibility anymore in schools, and our children are suffering for it. I see it every day. Our children, our most children out there have no responsibility. Nothing's ever their fault. They can't take the blame for anything. It's always someone else's fault. And what are these children going to grow up to be? Well, they're going to grow up to be entitled. They're going to grow up to think everybody owes them something. Hell, the last generation, that is the last generation. Because you can no longer discipline your children. God forbid you talk to your, or you yell at your child, they're calling CPS, and CPS will threaten to take away your children. You can't spank your child. Good Lord, I can't tell you how many spatulas were broken over my ass from my mom. But you know what? When I screwed up, I didn't do that again, because I know what was going to happen. Times are different, but that doesn't mean you still can't parent. It just means you have to be more interactive with your children. Find out what they're doing. Know where they're going. Know who they're hanging out with. And for the most part, know what they're doing. That leads me to my next segment that we're going to talk about. I have to talk about it. When we come back from the break, I hate the fact that I have to talk about it, but I have to talk about the school shooting in Florida. Because, well, I'll get back. We'll get to that after the break. You're listening to The Paranormal Patriot with Tom and Andrew. We will be right back.
Yeah, I'm not.
Sickness is a far trip.
Alrighty, again for my Michigan listeners, Saturday, September 22nd at 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. in Houghton Lake, Michigan, the Michigan UFO Contact. Join us in Northern Michigan for an out-of-this-world event, the Michigan UFO Contact. Spend the day listening and learning from our special guest speakers who will be lecturing about UFOs, sightings, experiences, the contact phenomenon, and more. Also, be sure to shop our amazing vendor room for unique items, creative works, psychic readings, and too many more to list. All this will be taking place at the beautiful Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan, overlooking the largest inland lake in Michigan and full of windows, including a walkout balcony. This will be an educational and refreshing event. The Lakeside Resort and Conference Center's website is lakesideresortmi.com. Again, September 22nd, 2018, Saturday from 10 to 8, the Michigan UFO Contact.
I had a lot of work to do. So I ran outside, put the sun in my eyes, met up with Uncle Chuck, stole an ice cream truck, drove in a pothole, ended up in the hospital. Threw quiz with the patients, got rub antidepressants, took my dog for a walk, went around the boardwalk, things got perverse.
Alright, this is a subject I don't want to talk about, but we have to. We have to talk about this.
This is a problem.
This is a huge problem. Now, you have background music behind here. I'm not trying to lessen the impact of this. But when you have music, it seems to make you understand more. These school shootings, there's too many. My kids now, you know, we watch that, the coverage of the Florida school shooting, and I gotta tell you, I was a little afraid to send my kids to school.
I was afraid to go to school.
Well, and it's understandable. It's understandable to be afraid, but the problem is we shouldn't be afraid to send our kids to school. Our kids shouldn't be afraid to go to school. But my problem, aside from the 17 lives that were lost in Parkland, Florida, and all the lives lost at the other school shootings. Beside that, this is not a political. This is not anything to politicize. Again, the first thing people come out and say, gun control, gun control, gun control.
No, it's not gun control.
It's not a gun control issue, everybody. A, it's a mental illness issue that we just don't want to accept. We don't want to look at the fact that the majority, if not the every single one of these, whoever did this had a mental issue that was out in the open. But we'd rather talk about controlling guns. Now, listen, this 19-year-old kid, how he has access to buy an AR-15 is beyond me. That needs to change. I'm going to tell you that right now. There is no way a 19-year-old kid should be able to purchase an AR-15. What's that?
Semi-automatic.
There's just no way. There's absolutely no way it should happen. My biggest issue is everybody knew that this individual was not stable. He told people he wanted to be known as a professional school shooter. He was online, on YouTube. A person sent the video to the FBI, said, "This isn't right. You need to look into this." Nothing ever happened. Nothing ever happened. The police, they said, well, we had nothing to go on here. We had no instances of ever having any idea why that this kid would go off. Well, then we find out there were 39 instances in the course of 2 years that the police were called to this kid's house, to his foster family's house, via a domestic dispute, an aggravated assault. They were called there 39 times. He was expelled from school, knowing that this kid has mental issues. I'm sorry, but this kid was the poster child for school shooters. So you can sit and you can talk about gun control. You can talk and say, you have to get the guns away from these people. Listen, I agree with you to a point. We need guns. We do. Our founding fathers put the Second Amendment into the Constitution not to protect us from bears and lions or whatever. It was to protect us from a tyrannical government. Because if they take our guns away, we have nobody to no way to defend ourselves against the bad guys. At that point, the bad guy is the government. Why do you think during World War II, the Japanese never invaded the mainland of the United States?
We had guns.
They knew that behind every bush is an American with a gun. They're outnumbered 500-1. It's not a gun control issue. Look at Chicago. Chicago has the strictest gun control laws in the country. At this point, the only ones that have the guns are the bad guys. The good people who need them,
they don't have them.
They don't have them. Listen, I don't want to negligify the severity and the loss of life in Florida. It's horrific. It's uncalled for. But we're missing the point. Look at Nicholas Cruz. And I'm not going to call him the alleged shooter like every mainstream media outlet is doing. The guy admitted, he confessed to shooting. He is beyond an alleged shooter. He is the shooter. He's the murderer. Nicholas Cruz was done a disservice by not getting the mental help he needed. He ruined the lives of 17 families. And he ruined his life. Because we won't take the time to deal with a mental health issue. And then wonder why all these people are going around shooting people up. If you banned guns, trust me, he wanted to kill people. He would have found a way to kill people. He would have found grenades. He would have found dynamite. For the people that want to kill people, they're going to find a way. My solution is simple. You got to arm guards. You got to put armed guards in these schools. You have to. You have to protect our children. This is a day and age, unfortunately, that's a problem. We have to do it.
Now, they said they had resource guard in that school. Was he armed?
He was not armed.
What?
He was not armed. And that's a problem. You have to have people that can defend, that can stop the shooter. I've had people say, well, Tom, what if that guy goes crazy? That's why you put two as a countermeasure. Put retired vets. I've had people say, well, I don't know if I trust vets because they may have PTSD or PTSD and go crazy. Again, two, you have a backup. Have people, teachers in there that are able to fire, to have a firearm on them and know how to use it. Unfortunately, we lost 17 lives again in Florida because we're just not able to tackle a mental health issue and unable and unwilling to make our children safe. In this day and age, we have to. We have to keep our kids safe. It's sad that I have to talk about this. It really is, but I don't know. Until we do something and decide to actually do something other than turn it into a gun control issue, until we get to the root cause, which is mental illness, I hate to say it, these are going to continue. Let me know. Let me know what you think. What is? Tell me. Contact me on Facebook, on Minds, on Twitter, at The Parapatriot. GhostSeeker4@charter.net. Contact me on Facebook at The Paranormal Patriot. Let me know what the solution is. The only solution I have. Look, people are going to, if they want to kill, they're going to kill.
They're going to find a way sooner or later.
They will find a way. And you have to be able to defend yourself. Give yourself a fighting chance. Because nobody in that school had a chance. It is by the grace of God that more people did not lose their lives. Let me know what you think. Again, GhostSeeker4@charter.net, The Paranormal Patriot on Minds.com, and Facebook at The Parapatriot on Twitter. Tell me what you think. Let me know what you think about The Dark Sun. That was Andrew and I both had a lot of fun researching that this show and that topic. So, again, let me know what you think. Andrew, I appreciate you being here again this week.
Thank you.
Anything you want to add to the show?
No, I think we're good here.
All right.
Thank you for listening to The Paranormal Patriot with Tom and Andrew. We will see you on the next show.
All righty. With that, we're out of here. Be safe, have a great week, and we will talk to you next week. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. We are out.
See you guys.
Real life, not everyone got parents to love them. Not everyone got a shoulder to lean on when they're struggling. We ain't all got people to hug us. Even get told enough that we're important and worthwhile, but it don't mean we aren't. Trust me, I know the story, because I have the story in me. To tell you that even it's never communicated.